The thought that the Lord spoke to me for today to share is entitled Demolishing the Bad Habit of a Bad Attitude. Demolishing the Bad Habit of a Bad Attitude. Matthew 26. And we're just going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you we have a Father on Father's Day. Thank you you hear us. And you hear this prayer. I pray, Lord, your mercy and your grace would be among us today. Thank you, Lord, that you died for our freedom. And we come as children looking to you for the children's bread. Lord, deliverance is the children's bread. And I thank you today, O God, that you would have your way. Thank you, there is a mercy that will never fail us. And thank you, O God, that you are here among us. Have your way. Speak, O Holy Spirit, and do what only you can do. Thank you, Lord, for this time and this. We have your word to open, to feed upon, and to be changed by this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lift up Jesus, and we'll thank you for it all. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen. A little while ago, I heard a sermon. Not in this church, but in another place. I heard a sermon, and it described a Christian's life. And describing a Christian's life, the preacher likened it to a Christian's life like that of a fisherman's net, a big, heavy net that is cast into the water. And this big, heavy net is being pulled up to the surface, and it is teeming full of fish. It's a full catch. And after all the sweat and the pull and the effort to drag this heavy net full of fish and the drag on it, but when you finally get it to the water, you realize that it breaks water. You realize that most of the catch has escaped. The drag was the water, and there is so little to show because there is a hole in the net. And this preacher likened that hole in the net to a bad attitude. And it really hit home to me. Because I was actually sitting there with a bad attitude. I was sitting there with a really bad attitude. And it's miserable. It's common. It happens to Christians. And I was sitting there. And, you know, at that moment, just before the light broke, I would not have described myself as having a bad attitude. If someone really sat down to you face to face, if they would have sat down with me at that moment, you would have had your reasons for feeling the way you do, and maybe you'd like to call it your concerns or your burdens. But truly, the Holy Spirit had nailed it. I had a bad attitude, and I was sitting in a sieve. I felt of people with bad attitudes, and the tide was running pretty high, and I was miserable, and I was judgmental, and there was no freedom in the Holy Spirit, and no clarity on my situation or anybody else's situation. And it's so easy to minimize a bad attitude. It's so easy to say, well, you know, really, seriously, a bad attitude, that's common to man. To live in a big city you almost feel like you need a bad attitude to get your way through. And I'd hate to think, but you know, I would have liked to, in my flesh, I would have liked to have heard before he said the word, and that hole in the net, and the reason why the catch and the fruit is so slim is because the hole in the net is a bad attitude. I would have liked to have heard a much more fancier name. I don't know if there is a Latin way to say that flesh warreth against spirit or something. You know how every disease has a Latin name in it. I don't know, it sounds different. But really, the truth was, at that moment, it truly nailed me because I was shut out of light and power and the love of Christ. And it's so easy to recognize a bad attitude in others, isn't it? That's really one of the easiest things to pick out. A mile away. Everything will speak of a bad attitude. Posture, face, the way you sit, the way you're receiving. And You know, when I first started to speak in this church back in the day, the way the lighting was, it's changed now. But the lighting was so strong that when it hit you, you could not see the audience at all. It was like speaking into a void. You couldn't see one face because the light was so strong. Do you remember that in the early days? And it was almost scary because you had no idea. But you know, when the lights changed and all of a sudden you can see faces, nobody gets scared, but now that you can see faces, you can really see sometimes what's going on by the faces that are looking back at you. And I'm not looking at anybody in particular right now, but it's so easy to recognize a bad attitude in others. And, you know, sour, touchy, easily grieved, and fault-finding. And that bad attitude doesn't just, you know, affect you, it seems to infect you. And you have it and you can often spread it. Till you try to lead something, till you try to lead people, you might be tempted, as I said, to minimize it and to just say it's the mood of the moment. But when you try to lead your heart into purity or power, it's like that head of that snake, of that bad attitude, rises up at you. A bad attitude has roots. A bad attitude is like I pictured it like a buoy, you know, bouncing on the surface of the water. But it truly is tied to that wreck or that weight at the bottom of the sea. And it's an indicator of something. And we may not know what that something is. And some of us, till we know what it is, maybe we don't want to deal with the bad attitude. But I feel like we might not always recognize the root of an issue. But since we can easily detect a bad attitude, it's like, Lord, thank you that there's no doubt there. I've got to deal with that. And whatever the hidden things are, whatever the roots of things, you know, it can be the fruit of things that are very complicated. There can be many reasons and varied reasons. What is the root of the attitude? But I felt like the Lord was saying today that he showed me something about a bad attitude this week when I was reading the scriptures, and it seemed to shed such a strong light on this subject. And when I read it, I wasn't reading the scriptures, you know, to get a word on bad attitude. It kind of just came up at me, but I was shaken to see the absolute gall, the manifestation of a bad attitude. And I saw that it's usually ultimately directed at Jesus when we're Christians in some ways. It's tied to that. And when I saw it, it just changed something in me. And I would like to just have us look into Matthew 26 and verse 1. And it reads, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." And if you skip down to verse 6, it says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste?" You know, the disciples are totally outside of what is truly happening at Simon the leper's house. And Jesus has just told them, probably within 3 days' time, if I read that correctly, in verse 2, it says, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover." And of course, he was to be crucified the next day. And Jesus is plainly talking to those that he has discipled and that love him and are following him. But for whatever reason, they seem to be totally outside of the moment of what's happening at Simon the leper's house. And this woman has come and has is anointing him before his death for his burial. And Jesus has tried to tell disciples what's coming. And the first thing the Lord said to me is, when we're under the power of a bad attitude, we lose the power to hear truth, no matter how plainly it is spoken to us. This bad attitude, you know, while they were fellowshipping, she comes in, she breaks a stone box, pours fragrant ointment all over him from head to toe. And they have the audacity to say, why this waste? And that very week, when we read other things in the Bible in John, we see that that was the week that he had raised Lazarus from the grave. And they are saying, why are we wasting something? Why are we taking this very costly ointment, perfumed ointment, and pouring it on the head of a man who raises the dead? Why are we, if they could think for a moment, this man sitting in their midst was the one who healed the sick, and he healed their family members. Peter had a family member healed through Jesus. They probably, no doubt, had friends and knew of people who were healed from Jesus. Why this waste? He provided for them food in the desert. He didn't just calm the storms that terrified him. He actually walked on the water to them. Why this waste on this man? He who paid the tax bill from the fish's mouth. He who turned the water into wine that the wedding host wouldn't be shamed. Why this waste poured on him? A little girl was raised from the dead. A paralytic was told, your sins are forgiven you. And so that they would know that's true, he said, rise and walk. Why this waste? And you know, if you look up that word waste, it means ruin. Why have you ruined something so precious, so costly? Why have you ruined that offering and poured it on the head of this man? How could they be so blind to what had been done through what Jesus at that moment called himself the Son of Man? How could at that moment they seemingly forget everything? And the Lord was just speaking to me, and he said, you know, sometimes we can get in an attitude, just an automatic reflex with certain people, certain times, certain places, and that bad attitude just springs up. It's just there. It's deeper than a mood. It's deeper than a moment's passing because we're tired, fatigued, or whatever. But we can get in certain situations, and all of a sudden, this bad attitude, this thing that is deep within us, it is our response to certain people, certain times, certain places. And I felt like the Lord said, don't dismiss this bad attitude, because you see, the disciples were they were classic bad attitude at that moment. And how blind. How could they forget who Jesus was and everything he was to them? How could they forget a ministry of 3 years walking with him? And yet such is that power. Why this waste? Where did that thought come from? How could they view him like that and think that the offering on his head, when he was trying to tell them what it was about, and they couldn't hear, and they'd seemingly forgotten, and it was like, Lord, I really am hearing you when you're saying a bad attitude is something to be reckoned with. I was thinking they were sitting at Simon the leper's house. Here is a man who was obviously healed for them to be sitting at Simon the leper's house, who was obviously healed through Jesus, because Simon was not living on the streets shouting unclean. Simon was not confined to a hidden room in the back of the house because he had leprosy. He was sitting at the table with him. He was healed, and obviously through Jesus' ministry. And it was like when they said that, was Simon sitting at table? Did he think that perfume poured on Jesus' head, did he think it was wasted on this man? How shocked were they surprised to hear his disciples full of indignation? For what purpose was this waste as he was anointed for his burial? And I don't think I've ever looked I've judged how a bad attitude can manifest itself. There are reasons and seasons, no doubt, but how painful that must have been to Jesus. You know, he is facing the cross, and he's trying to communicate it to the people that are supposed to be the closest to him. And I was thinking that the disciples are sitting at the table with Jesus and with the healed leper, Simon. And sometimes it's very much at the table, isn't it? It's very much at home in our familiar settings and surroundings where that bad attitude is revealed. I think so many times in the workplace we can have the can-do spirit. We can get this done. But it's at the table. It's in that circle where sometimes, you know, is where this familiar places is where the bad attitudes a lot of times is where it's manifest. And I'm asking, Lord, you know, it's funny, we know when the bad attitudes are upon us, and it's like, Lord, don't let me forget whose presence I am in and whose table I sit at. And the disciples that just before sitting at Simon's table had been invited into the heart of Christ. He wants to share what's ahead. He wants to take them to the deepest place his human heart, his God heart can go. And they couldn't hear. And they were so shut out of what was going on around them. It really touched me that when Jesus told them about his crucifixion, that he had to be betrayed in order to be crucified, that he called himself, in verse 2, he referred to himself as the Son of Man. And that really touched me. You know, Jesus could really call himself many, many titles, and all of them would be true, how he would name himself. But he identifies himself to these disciples as the Son of Man. And he still keeps identifying himself with us, I feel, when we're in our obstinances, in our sometimes our repelling arrogances, our outright ignorance. He still comes to us as the Son of Man. He was hurting, I think, and he was having to face the cross, and he was very alone in it. And I think that's when he said, you know, the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And I was feeling maybe at that moment, he felt like he is betrayed, and he's being betrayed by people that, you know, for what reason or another, just can't hear what he has to say. They should be the most understanding. And at that moment, they're not. And they're shut out of what is going on. And it was like, Lord, please help me to hate my bad attitude. Help me. I don't want to live my life shut out of the most important things and the most important moments in my Christian life. I don't want to be outside and of what is truly happening around me concerning the people I am with and concerning what the Lord is trying to say to me. This week, a young woman who teaches at the school at Summit, the school I lead, she has for many years leads a small ministry team into a small city that is, parts of it are extremely drug infested. And she has spent years, sometimes going alone, sometimes leading a small group of students into this very infested drug area. And she hasn't had spectacular results, but she is compelled to go. The Lord is asking her to just keep showing up in this neighborhood. And this year, little by little, the Lord has given her favor, and now she's many times in the homes, and she's just sharing the love of Christ. And there's a young man there, and he has grown to trust her. He's 19 years old, and he's in a lot of trouble. He's in bad trouble right now. He's got gang trouble. He's trouble with the law. And she started to talk to me about this young man and the things that they're facing, and very, very serious. And she's wondering what to do about it, and she's wondering what to do with what she knows. And he keeps saying to her, I don't think I'm going to last this summer. I don't think I'm going to live through this summer. And she is like, Lord, you have to show me what do I say to him, and what do I do with what I know? And she began to share this story with me, and almost looking to me for any input that I could give her. And I'm looking at her, and all of a sudden, as I'm listening to this story, I feel a bad attitude rise up in me. Not the bad attitude like maybe we think when we're upset with someone, but since I've been thinking about this theme of bad attitude, all of a sudden I recognize this, as she's telling me this story, a bad attitude is rising up in me, and a bad attitude towards Christ. And I'm feeling that, I'm thinking, what can one girl do? What this problem, it almost feels like his problem is too big and too much, and this whole neighborhood's problem is too big and too much. It's this bad attitude that I feel like almost this hopelessness comes over me as she's sitting there before me. Because, beloved, a bad attitude it's not moods. It rises from places many times of unbelief and hopelessness, something that's an attitude towards Christ that he has to get through to us. And she's telling me about this situation and this young man. And I've got this, all of a sudden, this bad attitude come over me. And I look at her. And I say to her, I say the right thing. I say, I'm going to pray for you, and we have to pray, but I feel this bad attitude, this hopelessness within me, and this unbelief in me. And all of a sudden, inwardly, I start to cry, Jesus, I guess I can't give just a rote answer. That doesn't honor you. That's not what it is, but I don't know what else to say. And inward, there's a cry, Jesus, Jesus. And all of a sudden, she looks me right in the eye, and she says concerning this young man, she says, he's a marked man. When she said that, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit was in that, and all of a sudden, this hope and all of it, this joy rises up at me, and I went, yes, he is a marked man. He is a marked man. And all of a sudden, I knew what she was saying, and I knew what I was meaning. All of a sudden I had this sense that the Lord was burdening her with him, and she was in this neighborhood for this young man. All of a sudden I felt like the Lord was saying, don't give up on him, and this is not hopeless. He is a marked man for this neighborhood, for I put my mark upon him. And you keep travailing in prayer. He is my answer. He is this next Nikki Cruz. He is the man that's going to be the change maker in this neighborhood. And I felt this bad attitude, something springing from unbelief and hopelessness. All of a sudden, I felt it in Jesus' name, who is a mighty name, higher than every situation. I felt him come and break through. I felt him being so long-suffering with me. I felt him saying, say my name and don't play a sham. I'll break through your bad attitude and I'll show you who I am. When she said he's a marked man, it was yes, oh yes, I know this man, this young man is a game changer. And I knew immediately, you have to keep going back. The Lord is going to give you light. You have not worked in vain in this neighborhood. Oh God, I thank you. This bad attitude is being broken. Hallelujah. I don't know how I knew it, but when she looked at me in the eye, she who had labored there, because she had not left a bad attitude with a lack of little results keep her from being led into places where the Lord was giving her a place to minister to. And she was not overcome by a bad attitude. Jesus was not overcome by a bad attitude when he was sitting among disciples who really, beloved, if we think about it, were betrayed by them. He could have felt betrayed by their insensitivity or their arrogance. But beloved, he had no bad attitude about that waste remark. And he wasn't about to consider them a waste. And I thank God that Jesus doesn't have a bad attitude towards us. He is, hallelujah. He is more than willing. He is the Son of Man. He is fully flesh when he walked this earth and fully God. He knew crucifixion was real. He knew the pain, but he also knew that God was going to send someone who was going to be moved by the Holy Spirit and break open that box, who was going to identify with his heart and in impeccable timing was going to break something so hard and pour out that anointment, that anointing, that ointment that was fragranced and saved and reassure him, your flesh will be strengthened and you will not have to feel that betrayal of those around you, and you're going to be able to die for them. You're going to be able to lay it all down. That's who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus can break this cycle in the poisonous air of a bad attitude, because he will not react in like spirit. But when we call his name, he gives us the Holy Spirit, and it's an opposite attitude. When she said, this is a marked man, it was like God was a way maker. And I saw, Lord, you are giving her faith, and something leaped up. And I said, Lord, thank you, Lord, you're so long suffering with me. And I believe this. And beloved, I feel like the Lord is saying this. Sometimes our bad attitudes, I feel like the Lord saying he was so long suffering with me. And I felt like him saying, get to the prayer meeting and shake off that bad attitude. Hallelujah. Get into that prayer place of prayer, and I will show you nothing is impossible. I know what I am doing. I can break off. I know why there are attitudes, and he knows what the issues are that are so deep and hidden from us. But he is so long suffering. And beloved, if we were just say, Lord, this is where I am. I am stuck in a bad attitude of unbelief. I am stuck in a bad attitude that something that seems to walk with me, with certain people, certain situations. But Lord, I'm not going to dismiss that now. I'm going to have you deal with it, because it has roots. But when I bring it to you, you are a way maker. You're going to heal me. You're going to deliver me. You're going to show me, Lord, nothing's impossible. You will forgive me. You are so understanding. You still laid your life out for me to change my attitude. And then, Lord, I thank you that attitudes of unbelief, that hopelessness, you will deal with it. And beloved, let's go to the prayer meeting and shake off that bad attitude. Let's go inwardly to that prayer of saying his name, where his name is a strong and mighty tower against anything that wants to grip us, anything that wants to shut us down, anything, Lord, that causes us, oh God, to just be so shut out of what you are doing in our lives, of what is happening all around us. The disciples were filled with indignation at that point. Oh, how they blushed later. How walking with Jesus later in their ministries, how they would have recalled that incident and saying, what waste, as he was being anointed for his burial. It would only have taken the Spirit of God not to have them crushed in remorse and shame over what rose up at them at Simon the leper's table. But God is faithful. God is faithful. And he will open our eyes to bad attitudes. And we're not going to just dismiss it as our New York armor. We're going to say, oh Lord, I see it now for what it is. I see how blinding it can be. I see how deaf I can go under it. I see how arrogant. I see how self-centered I can be in it. Judas was upset because, you know, that money, if it was sold and given to the poor, like their lofty thoughts should have, where that perfume should have went. It was only because Judas could put his hand in the bag and take more for himself. Beloved, let's truly ask the Lord, whatever it is, whatever brings the bad attitude, whatever brings that bad attitude, that we can say, Jesus, Son of Man, I don't want to live like this. Your light has to shine. It has to break through places where I have no freedom, where I have an attitude, and why it's there or why it's so deep, it makes no difference to you. And I don't need to psychoanalyze myself to death in order to get rid of it. I know that it just, that attitude wastes and leaves in ruins my testimony, my influence, my ability to see and understand what's really happening, my ability to call on you and believe you to move in me, through me, and in places. Lord, help and answer and deliver. I don't want to just not deal with this anymore. And I just have decided, Lord, you have full access to my bad attitude. Now, I have no doubt, having spoken this, I will probably be tested to the limit, and probably within the next hour. I don't know. That's how it goes. No reference to the company I keep. It's me. But you know what? I've just seen it in the Word, and I don't want any part of it. I just want to move forward. I just saw what it is, and I just know that Jesus is a delivering God. Hallelujah. It's really not a complicated message today. It's just no more in depth than that. But I know that so much, it's sometimes through the simplest things, God goes the deepest and does the greatest work. Beloved, are you hindered by something? It seems an overcoming reaction to certain people, places, and things. You know, there are reasons for that. But I know that if we say, Lord, I don't want to minimize with the attitude, that bad attitude I have, that sullenness, that whatever it is that steals my testimony, shuts out the light, blocks out your light, oh God, and keeps me in prison and bondage. You understand the depths of it, but I know my bad attitude is very easily recognized by myself and those around me. Lord, I want you to come and deal with it. And when I feel I don't want to be a prisoner of it anymore, you will be faithful to go to the depths. You will deliver it, and you will do it in compassion. You're the Son of Man, and you, Lord, do not hold it against us. And you will be faithful to go to the root. You will heal. You will deliver. You are for us. You understand the reasons, as complicated sometimes as they are. I'll trust you with the depths of it. But I thank you, Lord, what I know to do. I will submit, and I will say, this shuts me out of what's really happening, what is real, where, Lord, I'm not going to be shut out anymore. I want to be the part, oh God, that can hear you. And when you're truly moving, when you truly have something to say to me as your disciple, what's really happening, I don't want to be shut out on the wrong side of the story. I don't want to have a false piety. I don't want to have a false anything, but I want to be able to join with that woman who could anoint you in your hurting heart. How it must have been, the weight of the crucifixion must have been on our Savior's heart, so heavy those last 3 days. And could he find comfort on the earth? Was he going to find faith anywhere? He found it in a kindred spirit. He found it in somebody who would break something precious just to anoint him, maybe not fully understanding what she was doing. But beloved, I say we give him our bad attitude and say, Lord, this is, if it's costly to me to give it to you, I don't care, for I'm lining up with you, my Jesus. You don't judge me. I want to be found pouring everything at your feet from the head to the toe, and you will cause a memorial to be established in my life. You will cause something that my whole family, my whole circle is saying, something is different here. And a memorial is being able to go through our life because something was dealt with. I don't want to be at the table of awesome miracles and I go concerning Christ. Why this waste? Don't you see what I'm facing? Don't you see what I'm dealing with? Oh, that I could be delivered from such a statement. Oh, God, help us. Let us deal with that bad attitude, for it's become hideous in my sight. Will it be a battle at times? Yes, but I say, Lord, you deal with it because I'm willing. And beloved, if we're willing this day to say, thank you, Holy Spirit, thank you, you're so compassionate, and thank you, you're dealing with this issue in my life, I just give it to you. I pour it out, and I thank you, you can make it turn into something amazing. I'm going to be found at the right side of that table, Lord. And my eyes opened to all you've done in my life and all you will do, all you've done for those around me and all you will do. I thank you, God, you're going to deliver me from that attitude that I may live to see the glory of God in me and through me. Let's not be hopeless for this city, because we're not hopeless for our lives. We don't have areas that the enemy just walks in and out and pushes that button and we react just like he does. But Lord, you come and cancel that button. Put it over. It can't be pushed anymore. In the Holy Ghost. And beloved, that victory is ours. Hallelujah. 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 Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. This altar is an altar of deliverance. It's an altar of reckoning. It's an altar where the Lord pours his compassion out on us and says, I love you. Thank you for giving this to me. Those that are saying, Lord, you have free access to my heart, to my attitudes, to what I deal with. I'm coming to give it to you, Lord. And I have no illusions that I have no power over it, but you are greater, you are stronger. And Lord, Holy Spirit, you're going to deliver me from something that needs dealing with. And I've come today. I thank you, Lord. I'm going to come to this altar, pour it at your feet, and you will be God to me. You will change me. As musicians are playing, just come. Come. Let the Lord deal whatever it is. Whatever that attitude, whatever it is. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus. You were betrayed. When those words came from your disciples' lips, what a waste. I thank you, Lord, you did not hold it against them. And your love and your gentleness, your holiness, and your cross brought them through to another place. Lord, we thank you. You do not hold it against us. Lord, many times you know the reason for those bad attitudes. And you will be faithful to right the wrong, to heal the brokenhearted. You will raise up those, Lord, that have been crushed, and you will restore. But Lord, we don't coat or cover a bad attitude. You don't consider it a waste. You don't consider us a waste. You don't consider being gentle and long-suffering with us in our bad attitudes as a waste. You know how, Lord, to deliver us. And so, Lord, in things big and things small, we've come to see, Lord, anything that separates us from you, we just lay it at your feet. We trust you to do the deep work. We give you the bad attitude. Thank you for deliverance from this thing. Seal us off, O God, from how this city and how this age can so beguile us and deceive us into thinking the bad attitude is just a small thing. It's a deep thing. So thank you. You're not wasting your time with us, oh God. We've come, but we hear you. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, though we be tested and tried, though, Lord, we find ourselves in the same situation, in the same circumstance, we have a name at the sound of your great name. The depths will be broken up and the healing will flow. The attitude will change and the ointment will flow from our spirit. A new attitude, a fragrance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Only you can do this. You don't hold it against us. We receive now what you're saying and what you're doing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pour into us, O God. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for being patient. And thank you, Lord, for the strength and the anointing to change a bad attitude in this age and time. You will get the glory for it, O God. Restore to us now. Take away unbelief and hopelessness. And as you've changed us, let us look into our communities and not be found, God, unbelieving. You are worthy, Lord, of all our trust. And I thank you, a sweet attitude is going to reveal the marked young men and women in our neighborhood. And we will be prevailing in prayer, oh God. Our attitude is going to change things where we live. That's how you spread this gospel, one attitude at a time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle now of what's happening in this altar, Lord, and the lives that are open to you, saying, have your way, precious Jesus. Thank you for being long-suffering. I will not minimize this, but you will change me. Receive all the glory now and what's going to happen. And we give it all to you. We thank you, our attitude, and we receive now what the new spirit, your Holy Spirit. Thank you for deliverance. We receive it in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you.